Blog Talk Radio.
From the world we see to the unseen world we sometimes see that makes us stand in awe of God's universe, this is Betsy Blake welcoming you from Cape Washington in the south to the Northern Lights in the Arctic Circle, from the White House gates to Lion's Gate, to everyone listening around God's globe. Hi, Gigi. This is Tuning In with Betsy from marvelous Manhattan and terrific Toronto. Today, my very special guest is L.A. Marzulli, who is an internationally known author and speaker. He's the author of the Nephilim Trilogy, a fictional book series that sheds the light of biblical truth on deceptions such as the occult and UFOs, which he sees as part of the end times prophesied in the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, and elsewhere in the Bible. He states there are hundreds of UFO sightings weekly around the world, pointing to demonic deception on a growing scale and eventually contributing to the falling away of the church prior to the rapture. It's an honor and a privilege for me to have L.A. as my special guest. His website is www.lamazzulli.net. And L.A., first of all, I want to say thank you so much for taking time from your very busy schedule for being here.
Well, it's an honor to be here, and thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
Well, I'll tell you something. This was really strange. I had you on one line, and I was calling into the show. And every time I called in, it kept saying, "We do not recognize this number. We do not." And I swear to God that it's, sometimes I do feel when I have guests such as yourself who are true believers, that little gremlins or whatever come through electronically and try to stop my show. And it happens once in a while. And to me, when I got back to you, we actually had the 3-second countdown. So anyway, I want to say thank you so much. And I'll just say one thing, and I'll let you talk. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man returns. And the microphone is all yours.
Well, that scripture, even though some people would say, well, it's only one small little scripture, and that's Yeshua, that's Jesus warning us almost 2,000 years ago, pointing us back to the biblical narrative that we read about in the Torah, specifically the first book of Moses in Genesis. And unless we come to grips and understand what the days of Noah meant, what really happened in the days of Noah, and unlike, without bashing Miley Cyrus, she needs a lot of prayer, but you know, she was making fun of Noah and calling it a fantasy. And it shows you how ignorant people really are. They don't understand that every single culture on this planet, pretty much every single culture on the planet, has a flood story. Now, it differs perhaps a little than the flood story that we have in Moses. It's basically the same thing. A bunch of people, a few people are saved, they're put on some boat, and then the Creator destroys the planet by a great flood. We read about this, of course, in our Bibles. Why is the Creator destroying the world with a flood? And this gets back to Genesis 3, where we read that the Most High God states to the fallen cherub, the dragon, the serpent, in the garden with Adam and Eve, and he says something which is chilling. He states that your seed, the seed of the serpent, the seed of Satan, will be at war, will be at enmity with the seed of the woman. Now that's Genesis 3, and that is often, and we overlook this at our own peril, but it's often just completely overlooked. Well, I'm not sure what that means. Let's just move on to chapter 4. But chapter 3 sets up, in my opinion, the entire biblical narrative, because what the biblical narrative is the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman is already manifested fully with the advent of Messiah almost 2,000 years ago. Those of us who are Christians believe that Yeshua was the Messiah, that Jesus was the Messiah, and that his sacrifice on Calvary acts as a doorway for all men and women everywhere to be reconciled with the God of the Bible, the real God, not the false God, but the real God, the real one. What's interesting is a few chapters later in Genesis 6, we see the fallen entities coming down and trying to thwart the plan of God and the Messiah. And this is what he does. He corrupts the entire genome, which is why we read in Genesis 6 that the fallen angels, the sons of God, who are the B'nai HaElokim, which is always referred to as the angelic host of heaven. It's referred to in the book of Job. Now, this passage is controversial. I understand that. But when we go back and we just read the text for what it says, the sons of God are the B'nai HaElokim, which always referred back to the angelic host of heaven. And guess what? The daughters of Adam are, or the daughters of men are the daughters of Adam. That's what it says. And when you go back and you actually read the Hebrew, that's what it's talking about. What we get is the unthinkable. We have the fallen angelic host of heaven desiring the women, taking wives of whomever they chose, and from that unholy union becomes this hybrid entity being known as the Nephilim. And they are on the earth, and it's not a weekend excursion. This is going on for perhaps as much as 450 years, perhaps even longer than that. We don't know for sure. But the days of Noah are all through this 450-year period. The Nephilim are on the earth, and this is the reason. This is the reason why the flood happens. We get this. Later on in chapter 6, it says, but Noah was pure in all his generations. M.R. Dehan, whom I quote in my book, The Cosmic Chess Max, states that God's not talking about that Noah is somehow sinless. He's just trying to say that his genetics, his line, is intact. There's no Nephilim blood in the line of Noah, and I also believe there's no contamination in any of his sons and his sons' wives. Why? Because there seems to be a vetting process in Genesis 6, and also later on. God does it twice, and he says, Noah, you, your wife, your sons, and your sons' wives. That's a vetting process. He's calling that out, taking the time to call it out. So in my opinion, that we should look at that and understand that whoever gets on the ark is without any type of genetic manipulation. There's no Nephilim on the ark. But what we read in Genesis 6 is that the Nephilim were on the earth and also afterwards. And then there's an elaboration. When the sons of God saw the daughters of men, went into them and had children by them, and their progeny were the Nephilim. These were the men of renown. And that's what's going on in Genesis. We see it later also with the Tower of Babel. We see it later in Sodom and Gomorrah. We see another outbreak of the Nephilim, of course, in the Promised Land. When Joshua and Caleb go into the Promised Land, they're given a mandate to wipe everybody out in the Promised Land. That's genocide. But what is in the Promised Land, and this I write about all this in the Cosmic Chess Match, the reason why the giants are there, the reason why the Nephilim tribes are there, is because they know that the God of Israel wants to do something in Jerusalem. The prize is Jerusalem. And isn't it interesting that even now in modernity, in 2015, Jerusalem has become a stumbling block through all the world, just like biblical prophecy tells us it would. I find it incredibly fascinating.
Oh, I find it incredibly true. And if people like a good mystery book, they should read the Bible, because it's the biggest mystery ever and love letter ever written to mankind. There's so much, and I'll tell you, and even as a kid, I used to read the book of Daniel, and I was fascinated. And I read it again of you. And so would you like to comment anything about the book of Daniel or moving up to Daniel and how it relates to our modern times?
Well, the book of Daniel gives us a window into what is going to happen in the future. Remember, Daniel, this book is written about 2,500 years ago, roughly. And what we see is that there's prophecy that's being called out with great specificity, as only the Bible can do. There are other imposters out there. There's a lot of false seers. They have an accuracy perhaps 50-60%. But the biblical narrative and the biblical prophetic passages are 100% accurate 100% of the time.
And that's how
incredible.
You tell a true prophet. When you're from God, you're God himself, you are 100%, and the prophets in the Bible are 100%.
That's correct. And so what we see in Daniel is an outline of history a priori, before any of these events are going to happen. The angel is telling Daniel precisely what will take place. And in that, we read about the little horn. We read about this entity, this character. We're first introduced to him in the Daniel narrative that discusses this man who will rise up and speak things, blasphemous things against the Most High God, who will set himself up in the temple to be proclaimed as God at some point in the future. And of course, that has not happened yet. We are awaiting the rebuilding of the third temple in Jerusalem. It is going to happen at some point. We know that the Temple Institute has created all of the elaborate paraphernalia that is needed to reinstitute animal sacrifice on the Temple Mount, which is what the Jews still hold to. All of Israel is waiting for that. They are gung-ho. It will happen at some point. And we also know from Scripture and prophecy that whoever cuts the deal, and again, this goes back to Daniel, whoever cuts the deal for the rebuilding of a temple will be, in fact, the Antichrist. So there's like this whole, it's you know, you talk about a cosmic passion play. That's what we're looking at here. What is happening is unprecedented. The fact that Israel has been regathered from the four corners of the earth and reestablished in its ancient homeland sets off the prophetic clock ticking, 1948. And so here we are, you know, decades later, and we see that nothing has changed, that Israel now, in fact, it's gotten even more severe as Hamas and Hezbollah and now ISIL in the east are licking their chops. And the goal, of course, is Jerusalem. There's a very fiery imam in Egypt. His name is Higazi. And Higazi stated unequivocally that the capital of the United Arab States would be Jerusalem. That's what they say. And thousands, hundreds of thousands of Egyptians say, to Jerusalem we go, martyrs in the millions. That's what's at stake here. The American public we don't get to see that on the 5 o'clock news. I posted it on my blog. I've shown it at numerous conferences, that clip. There's also another banner that they enrolled at a soccer game in Egypt that said, One Nation Under a New Holocaust. One Nation Under a New Holocaust. The anti-Semitism is absolutely through the roof. And there's a spiritual component to it. This is being driven. The Jews are God's chosen people. Israel, there's no way around it. Now, there's a lot of nonsense that, you know, men are men. Men and women are men and women, and some are good and some are evil. I understand all that. I'm not giving a blanket pass to everything Israel has ever done. That's not what I'm saying. But Israel has been regathered on the ashes of the Holocaust. And unless we understand what the Holocaust was about, that it was a Luciferian objective, it was an attempt to completely thwart any type of biblical prophetic language to be fulfilled that we read about. And the fallen cherub knew that if he could wipe out every Jew on the planet, Israel never would be reborn in a day, just like prophecy tells us it would be. And of course it was in 1948. The word Holocaust comes from the German word Holocaustin, which means a burnt offering on an altar. And that's precisely what we see in World War II, where the Jews, the body of these men and women, were stacked like cordwood and then burned in the ovens. I mean, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is absolutely horrific. And the West didn't really know. The world didn't know what was really going on. Yeah, there was hints of it. There were things and documents that had leaked out showing pictures of Auschwitz and what was happening over there. But people really didn't want to believe what the Holocaust was about. There was a cache of records, that photographs that were given to me by this woman by the name of Laura. And Laura's grandfather was a photographer in World War II, and I had these photographs. And I have a presentation, of course, that I show at conferences, and it's a very, very jarring, unnerving presentation, because in the beginning I show these photographs from this concentration camp. And they are what they are. I mean, they're black and white photos, and they're in your face. And, you know, lest we forget. And it's funny, when I ask this question, I don't know how we got off on this subject, but it's all related. The bottom line is this, and people need to understand this. When I ask people, how many concentration camps do you think there were during World War II? 10? And, you know, a bunch of people will raise their hand. 50? More people will raise their hand. 100? That's where usually the majority will raise their hand. I go, how about 500? And then it starts to dwindle down to maybe two or three hands. What people don't understand, there were well over 20,000. 20,000
wow.
Concentration camps.
I didn't know that, but I know it now.
There you go. 20,000 concentration camps in the Third Reich. The number of 6 million Jews killed actually may be too low. We don't know that. So the Holocaust deniers are always trying to tell us that these numbers are highly inflated, but they've never done their homework, and they don't understand that the killing machine set up by the Nazis was, there was, first of all, an occult component to it. There was a Luciferian agenda to it. Now, I say all this to tie back to the original question of Daniel. What is coming is more horrific than that. What is coming, what has been set in the prophetic language is we know that 2 billion people will lose their lives on this planet. Basically, that's based on the 7 billion people on the planet as of 2015. We know from the book of Revelation that a third of the people on this planet will be wiped out. Yeshua, Jesus, tells us that unless those days were shortened, no flesh would survive. You say, why doesn't God put a stop to it? Well, he does do that, but he allows this thing to play out. And he allows it because the protocols of the heavenly war, we get little tidbits of it in the book of Daniel, but we don't understand the severity of what is really going on a cosmic level all throughout the universe.
Well, what amazes Betsy is that so many people aren't even awake about this, I'll say, situation. They're into reality TV shows, what are the Kardashians? You got to be kidding me. You must be kidding me. Because if your spiritual, I'll say this way, spirit, if your spiritual eyes are open, you can't miss it. And if anybody's listening that your spiritual eyes aren't open, ask God to open them for you right now, that you're made aware and awake, and you can see what's coming, like the handwriting on the wall. Absolutely. And that's one show I was watching, and I know you've heard of it, Ancient Aliens. And they,
sure,
I've
been on that show twice.
They've had the connection between the swastika and the occult and Hitler and the Holy Grail, the lance that pierced the side of Jesus. And Hitler was pursuing, you know, whoever has these has supernatural power to conquer the world. And I'm watching this show going, well, or that, and it was somehow they connected it to UFOs. And this is where good angels and bad angels and chariots of fire in the Bible, you know, there could be, well, not could be, I'll say. A lot of people, oh, God, when I hear people say, oh, the UFOs are going to come back, and, well, they're just going to, there's not going to be any more Catholic Church. There won't be church. You won't be worshiping Jesus, but they'll be our Savior. Again, excuse me, are you kidding me? Like, what, hello? But anyway, I'll let you speak about that. You can go in any direction, L.A., that you want.
Well, the whole UFO phenomenon has been going on for you know, a long, long time. The Native Americans in this country call them the Sky People. I mean, that's what they have been referred to by many indigenous Native American tribes, both in North Central and South America. That's what they're referred to. We see writings about this. So, look, I don't have all the answers. No one really does. But these entities appeared to indigenous people all over the world and have done so for thousands of years. And I've written about this and referred to it in different books that I've penned, but specifically I call it and have come to call it the coming great deception. And something is coming. Something is coming here which is going to change people's paradigms and do it very quickly. And, of course, that would be the revealing of the so-called extraterrestrial presence. That is the game changer. That's going to change everyone's worldview, everyone's operating paradigm extremely quickly, basically almost instantaneously for many people. We're told that there will be a great falling away. We get the word apostasy from the Greek word apostasia. And that is in, it's found in a passage of scripture, a letter written to the people in a little Greek town called Thessalonica almost 2,000 years ago by Paul the Apostle, who states that this is what's going to happen, that there will be a great falling away. There will be an apostasy. It's an event. It's singled out as a very particular event. And this event, I believe, is coming. And shortly after that, in the same chapter, it talks about that the fallen cherub, Satan, will come with all signs and lying wonders. Now, that's what it says, and that think about what it's saying there. All signs and lying wonders. So we know it's just going to be a falling away, and that the fallen cherub will come with all signs and lying wonders. And that points the student of biblical prophecy to, well, what is manifesting now? There are several things that are manifesting, and they are somewhat related. One is the so-called Marian apparitions, which happen with frequency all over the globe. In fact, there was one in 2015, which I blogged about recently, in Iraq. Now, what these are, they are just blobs of light. They're not the Mary of the Bible. We never see a human being. We see a blob of light, and that's it. And we're warned that the fallen cherub, Satan, can even disguise himself as an angel of light.
Yes,
so no one rebukes the spirit. No one tests the spirit. Mm-hmm. They look at the apparition and they go, oh, it must be Mary of the Bible. Well, how do they get that? And this, of course, is part of the problem of where we are, the inability to discern what we're looking at supernaturally. But much far greater than the Marian apparitions or the so-called Marian apparitions is the UFO phenomenon. And what we see there are the countries of the UK, Mexico, France, Germany, Japan, Peru, many countries over the globe, the Vatican, for instance, Belgium, all have come on the record basically and stated that UFOs, the phenomena of UFOs, are real. Paul Hellyer, the former secretary of the Canadian Defense Department, stated numerous times that UFOs are as real as the airplanes flying overhead. Now, what are we to make of that? What are we to make of statements by, you know, a G7 leader, because they just kicked out Russia, but, you know, a G7, G8, G20, whatever you want to say, leaders that are stating that the UFO phenomenon is real. In this country, it's treated always tongue-in-cheek. It's never treated seriously. Now, there are some shows that sort of delve into it, but the mainstream looks at it and just laughs at it. Meanwhile, there was, and I posted this on the blog, Edward Snowden supposedly released the whole WikiLeaks deal, and the Iranians picked up on this and posted it in Fars News Agency, that there was a segment that the U.S. government foreign policy was actually being dictated, okay, by a race of extraterrestrials. Now, I realize that that's laughable. That sounds absolutely crazy, unless a person begins to do their homework, and we realize that something happened in this country in 1947. And of course, that was the Roswell crash. And we also know, and I have delved into this for almost 25 years now, actually a little over 25 years. And it seems like there are elements of this government who know about the so-called extraterrestrial presence, and there actually was contact with these entities. Does that mean that these entities have created some sort of liaison with our government? I don't know, but nothing would surprise me. I mean, Philip Corso's book, The Day After Roswell, and Corso mm-hmm. was deceased shortly after. The man was dying from cancer. So it's one of those tell-all books. And again, is that soft disclosure? Is that allowing Corso just to come out with this information? Is it disinformation? Is part of it true? Is part of it not true? We don't know. We don't know all the answers, but we do know this, that people have talked about this, that have come on the record, that have just said, look, something is going on. There has been contact between the governments of the world and these entities. For instance, the work of Tom Horn and Chris Putman point to the Vatican as perhaps even orchestrating the time of disclosure. And that's, we're actually selling that book on our website because I think it's a very profound tome that needs to be looked at and studied. Something is going on, and the American people, like you said, Betsy, earlier, we get the Kardashians, we get every little nuance of the Bruce Jenner sex change, but we really don't get the atrocity of what's going on, let's say, in the Middle East, we don't get real supernatural news, or the fact that there are crop circles happening right now in fields all over the world, or the fact that people are seeing UFOs and entities and all this other stuff. We never hear about that. So there's a managed agenda, as Chuck Missler likes to call it, his term, but there's a managed agenda. And the American people are dumbed down, which is why we're going to probably have Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton run against each other. I mean, I'm not making this stuff up. It's happening as we speak at 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening as we speak, exactly. And it's just, I mean, anybody with a half a brain can realize that we don't want either of these people. Get them out of here. Rand Paul is at least, you know, stands up for what I believe. That's why he stopped, you know, or filibuster with the Obama trade stuff. And
I mean, yes.
You know, it's just ridiculous where we are. And these career politicians have to go, but I digress.
Well, I digress because I've heard some Christian prophets or prophetesses say, and I'll tell you, the lady's name is Glenda Jackson, she said Jesus showed her that Obama's not he's going to be in office, that there won't be a 2016 election. I say, oh, Jesus, please. I can't take it. God forgive me. I'm supposed to be praying for the president, but I don't want another 4 or 8 years of Obama. I'll flip. And then he wants to give, oh, my God, he wants to divide Jerusalem. He wants to put back the borders back to 1967. And I was a teenager in 1967, and I thought that, Six-Day War, I thought that was the second coming of Jesus. I thought this is it, but no, Betsy was wrong. She didn't know the prophecies like she does now. But one thing I will say, Padre Pio, Saint Pio, said, if you see any spirit appear to you or anything like a UFO, you say, do you profess Jesus Christ as the Son of God? And
That's
if
it.
They say no,
you
say, depart, with a capital D.
That's
and
it.
Get out of here. And I tell people that want to go looking for UFOs, I say, are you crazy? Or
yep.
Or actually, I had Stan Gordon on last week, and I said to him, Stan, I said, have you ever been under psychic attack? Because he goes looking like UFOs and Bigfoot and stuff. He goes, no, because I was going to ask him, what do you do for protection? Because I'll tell you, I'd have... No kidding, a miraculous medal around my neck, a crucifix. And I tell my friends, do not just wear a cross around your neck. Wear a crucifix with the body of Christ on it. Because, well, I've read different things where I have an old book I got somewhere, The 3 Days of Darkness, and it says, put a crucifix, not just a cross, a crucifix at every window and entrance to your house, because when the 3 days of darkness come, and that's in the Bible too, that the demons will be let loose, and they'll be, oh my God, and they can imitate, Satan can imitate, the fallen angels can imitate the voices of your loved ones, and they will trick you and say, oh, let me in, you know, it's Uncle John. No, it's not Uncle John. You open the door and it's goodbye. Yeah, but if you're really, I'll say, covered in the blood, you won't be deceived. But that's just my opinion. That's just my opinion. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. I'll say to my friends, you know, everybody's excited about the Kardashians and we are celebrity obsessed. But if they really looked up, and he's no celebrity, but someone greater, someone that is the one, is coming back soon. I'm more excited about that than anything. And I always say to God, almost every day, you know, God, and I'll say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are more interesting than anybody else on TV. You are more interesting and fascinating to me, and you're certainly more important and worth my time and attention. Yeah. But I will shut up, and I'll let you have the microphone.
No, that's you know, well said. Look, I just think that most people don't even understand the prophetic messages that are found in the biblical narrative, and it's been usurped by imposters, in my opinion, like, with all due respect, like Edgar Casey and Nostradamus and some newer ones like Blossom Goodchild. These are, in my opinion, these are all false prophets, or Maitreya, Benjamin Krim.
Let me tell you, Benjamin Krim emailed me in 2007 to come on my show with Maitreya. I did not even respond to that, and I said, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, how, because I heard him on Art Bell. I think, way back when Art Bell was on Coast to Coast, and I thought, how in God's, and I say this not defaming God's holy name, but how in God's holy name did he ever find my email on Blog Talk Radio? I won't even open that portal, and kids don't realize, playing with the Ouija board, baby, you're opening a portal, not to heaven, to something much more darker than that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've been following Maitreya and Benjamin Krim since he came to the surface in 1982. What was interesting is he talked about the reemergence of the Bethlehem star, and he did this, I think, around 2010. And I had already written in my last book of the Nephilim trilogy, and this is a novel. And I'm sitting there going, now, if I were going to create a deception, what would I say? And I just made this up. I just made it up. Well, I would just say something like, whoa, the Bethlehem star was actually a UFO, and we would have the reemergence of the Bethlehem star. But that's actually in the book, okay? It's in the book. And all of a sudden in 2010 or thereabouts, Benjamin Krim comes out and he states the reemergence of the Bethlehem star. I about fell out of my chair.
See, the Holy Spirit downloaded that to you. I believe
Words
of knowledge and ideas. And God can download knowledge to you, but that's true knowledge. But there are so many false prophets. I'm not saying I'm getting ready for this, but that miracles will be the Antichrist, the prophet of the Antichrist. They'll try to imitate Jesus. They're a poor. I always say, you know what? You're a poor imitation. But that's, again, the great deception.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was a kid, I would be at Mass, and I'd hear the priest reading, a little kid, like 9 years old, and the stars are going to fall out of the sky, and the sun's not going to shine, and the moon's going to turn blood red, and I am shaking in my Mary Jane's in church going, oh, God, boy, I'm glad I'm not going to be around when that happens. You know what? Now I say, I look forward to it. I'm not afraid, and I mean, I'm not brave. I'm not trying to be brave, but Christ said, and John Paul II said, look up, fear not, look up, because your redemption's at hand. Now, when I tell that to people who aren't Christian, if they're Hindu, whatever my friends are, a Buddhist or whatever, they look at me like I have, you know, like they look at me like I have three heads, but anyway, okay, I'll say this. After the rapture and people are left here on earth, my girlfriend asked me this the other day, what will happen to people who were not brought to Christ or didn't turn to Christ before the rapture?
Well, it's certainly going to get very, very interesting. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And it's coming down, or I should say this, when it comes down, those who are left behind, as the popular novel would say,
mm-hmm.
They will be completely immersed in this new global one-world religion, one-world government system. They will embrace it. And, of course, again, now call me crazy, but I believe all this will be on the heels of the what I call the coming great deception, or the revealing of the so-called extraterrestrial presence. And that's the game changer. That's the game changer.
Yeah.
And I think it's coming sooner than later.
Oh, I do too. I do too. And even the Pope about a month ago said, Pope Francis said, I only expect to be Pope for about four or five years. And I thought, okay, Pope, you must know that the prophecies of St. Malachi, you know, that there would be from that time, I think what year was he?
Sure.
1100. He was a bishop in Ireland, that there would only be, 113 or something more popes, and we're at that number. Yeah. So very, or the prophecies of, or the third the third secret of Fatima. Now, I know when I was a kid years ago, I knew about that. What I thought was the third prophecy was that the Pope would leave the Vatican, the Pope would leave, flee Rome and step over bodies of dead clergy, meaning priests and nuns. And then a couple, about, 10 years ago, the Vatican says, oh, no, it was the third secret was that John Paul II was going to almost be assassinated. And that's not what I learned back in 1960. But who knows? Who knows? Yeah. But, or what about, okay, now I'll ask you something else about art. And I think it's Rembrandt. I could be wrong. It's a famous picture of the Virgin Mary holding baby Jesus. And up in the upper right-hand corner, there's a disc, which we would call a flying saucer. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you're familiar with that. But any comment? I have no comments on that, but I've seen this photograph many times. Any comments?
Yeah.
Or words of wisdom?
Well, I was actually, I think it was season 2, or maybe season 1 of The Ancient Aliens, they had asked me to comment about all this art. Now, I'm not an art connoisseur or, you know, by any means, but I took each picture and went back on the internet and found the original of it, and then also talked to several art historians and got the take on this stuff. And what most people don't realize is this, that many of these pictures that were painted, this was the medium of the day, and an artist has one frame, one shot to incorporate a variety of ideas. And so how do you do that? You do it through symbols. You do it through color and symbols and everything there. You've got people who are looking at a painting, and there's expression, and all that comes into the composition that the artist, but the artist is attempting. For instance, there's one that's out there that is used over and over and over again, and it's a medieval painting, and it shows Mary, and there's a beam of light which looks like it's coming from a disc above, and that beam of light goes through the wall and penetrates Mary, so we can see that it's called the Annunciation. All right, so it's very clear that there's a disc there. Well, it's not a disc. It's just that what you're looking at is a copy of 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 the original painting. The original painting is actually a cloud, and leaning over the cloud are a group of angels. And so what the artist is attempting to do here is to convey the idea of the Holy Spirit and the angelic messenger coming down to Mary. That's
how
what
I would take
do.
It. That's how,
yeah,
I would interpret
that's,
it.
That's all he can do. So he's using imagery to somehow communicate the supernatural. How else are you going to do it? That's what we're looking at. But these guys take this stuff and they run with it, and they do so, in my opinion, very erroneously.
Oh, I agree. Some of the things I've heard, it just amaze me. But L.A., I've taken more than your time that I've asked for, so I'll say thank you so very much for being my guest. And give out your website again and where we can get your books.
Thank you. Really appreciate coming on, Betsy. I would love to do it in the future.
Anytime.
My website is www.lamarzulli.net. Marzulli is spelled M-A-R, M as in Mary, A-R, Z as in zebra, U-L-L-I, www.lamarzulli.net.
And I want you to know, I have May Pang up there as my featured show from 2009. She's getting replaced today by you. When I find out technically how to do that, because I always say, I'm not a techno geek, I'm not a tech geekess or whatever, but if I take my good old time, I can do it. But no, I'd love to have you back, especially, oh boy, all the stuff. I'll tell you somebody I couldn't stand, Pastor Jim Baker. Oh, my God, he used to upset me so much. Well, that was me and my emotions. And I'll never forget, he was released, I think, from jail on my birthday, March 19th, whatever it was. Now, I couldn't stand him. Now I love him. I can't get enough of this guy and his guests. And he's on, dear God, I sound like Benny Hinn. Dear God, he's on at 3 o'clock in the morning and 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But amazing, the stuff that Rabbi Kahn is saying,
yeah,
about the
Kahn,
blood,
sure,
the blood moons, September, and I'm telling you, I know my friends think I'm crazy, and the next blood moon is, I think, September 27th, 28th, and I'm just waiting because they're saying a stock market crash, another recession, this, and that. And we shall see what we shall see, but I trust the word of God before I trust any gangster on Wall Street.
There you go.
Anyway, L.A., come back anytime, and I want to say thank everybody for listening to Tuning In with Betsy. Look up, and God bless, and don't forget to talk to God. He's waiting to hear from you.